We get all of our technology here to sync up. We'll start here in lesson 5 this morning, continuing in our study about some of the examples that we see in prayer that have to do with the Apostle Paul and how he went about things and how that can help us in our walk before God as well. So we've talked the past couple of weeks about the idea of thanksgiving in prayer, and we'll continue in that theme this week, but with a little different look at something. We started off talking about it in general, then we looked at thanksgiving for salvation and why we can look to God and be so thankful to Him for that part of what He has done. And this morning we'll look at something a little different. We're going to look at the idea of being thankful for God's work and for the and what that means. And so as we think about that together, have in your mind, what is it that is the work of God that we are thanking Him for, and how that is apparent in our life today. That's what we want to think about together this morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer as we start these things. Our great and awesome Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to You for the many things that we see that come from the goodness of Your hand. We're thankful, Father, for Your love and Your mercy, for the grace that You've extended us. We thank You, Father, for Your long-suffering. And as we work together this morning and thinking about the ways that You interact with us and the ways that You are able still in this day to accomplish Your will through us and through the things that exist, we are so very thankful that You are in control and that You are our sovereign Lord. We pray that You would help us appreciate the things that You do and how we can have a part in that. We pray that You would help us to do things that will build our faith. We pray that You would guide us in our understanding of Your word and how it is that You work and what it is that You do and what our part in those things are, that in all things You might be glorified in how we live and in what others see, and that they would be drawn to You and desire to be a child of Yours. Please be with us this morning as we come together in this way. We pray that all that we do honors You, and that we might have the right mindset in the things that we are doing. We pray for those that are on our minds that need Your care at this time. We pray for those that are struggling with difficulties in life. We pray for those that are struggling with difficulties in health, especially some that more recently have become ill. We pray for Your care and comfort to be with them. Thank You so much for our Savior. Thank You that we are able to come before You and approach Your throne because of what He did and because of His love for us. We pray that, again, You would be glorified in what we do here today. We ask these things this morning humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we kind of start to think down this path this morning, just to remind us as what we've been looking at the past couple of weeks, the idea of thanksgiving, and that is expressing gratitude and appreciation to God for several different things that we've been talking about. And so this morning we're going to talk about the idea of expressing thanksgiving for God's work. And I don't want to get lost in the thought of focusing on, okay, what is God's work? What was it? What is it today? We want to understand that, but we want to be looking at it in the idea of how do we express thanksgiving for that, and why should we be expressing thanksgiving for that, and just remembering. That's why I stated at the beginning and the past couple of weeks, remembering that's a deep gratitude and that's an appreciation for something, and that's why we're studying this and looking at what Paul prayed for and how that affected his spiritual walk with God. That he was willing to acknowledge those things, that he was willing to be appreciative and show gratitude for those specific things that he saw God doing and offering, and that was able to sustain him and build his faith. We wanted to be able to do the same with us. So we think about God's work. What do people most often think of when they start talking about God working in something today? Just in general, what is often thought of there? What do you think? What's that? Okay, sickness. And some of it may be, we may be thinking about how we think of it. Expand that a little bit. Just in general, how does the world look? If you say, you know, God's working in something or God's work towards something, what do a lot of people think of when it comes to the work of God? They think about everyday things. They think about supernatural things. Yeah, a lot of times we're thinking about miracles and thinking about the different things that we read about that God did in the Bible. And so that's one thing that we want to consider as we're looking at being thankful for God's work. What is it that we are talking about that is affecting us today? So does God still perform miracles today in the way that he used to? That's one of the things that we want to consider. We look back and we see the things that God did to confirm to his people who he was. In the Old Testament, we see spectacular, wondrous things that man cannot do. We saw plagues come upon the children of Israel. We saw the Red Sea part. We saw, you know, things come directly, fire and brimstone from the sky, from God in judgment. And we don't see that today, do we? We don't see God work that way today. We go to the New Testament and we see Jesus and the apostles who he authorized be able to heal those who were sick and raise some from the dead and turn water into wine, walk on water. We see supernatural things like that. We go further into the New Testament and we see some of the apostles as they were going out preaching and teaching. We talk about the idea of spiritual gifts, the spiritual gifts of being able to speak in tongues or to prophesy, different things like that. And so sometimes when we talk about the work of God, even today, that's what many people go to and have in mind. But as you look at some verses, we understand that those things that happened were there for a reason. And that reason has passed, and those things have passed. So when you look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in this chapter that we often refer to as a chapter about love, where Paul is directing them how to deal with their spiritual gifts. You look back in chapter 12, he talks about how they should be good members one with another. And in chapter 14, he talks about how they should be able to handle and use the spiritual gifts that existed at that time. Here in the middle of that, in chapter 13, in verse 8, as he's talking about love, he says, love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. And basically what he's talking about here is that miracles in the sense that they knew them, and spiritual gifts in the sense that they knew them then, will come to an end when God's word has been completely revealed. And that's where we are today. That's happened. And so we don't see those miraculous things as part of the work of God. So keeping that in mind then, as we kind of go down this path of being thankful for God's work, if you look at question two in the material this morning, we're going to start with question two before we go back to question one. You know, he talks there about in 1 Corinthians 1, down 5, down through verse 7. He says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you're not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to point out, as you look at this verse here, there was a purpose in spiritual gifts. There was a reason that they had them, and it was to reveal the will of Christ. It was to show the power of God, and Paul gives thanks for that at this time, at this point in his life when he was working and those things were existing. But we have just said, and looking at some other verses, that those kind of spiritual gifts don't exist today. That time has passed. So the question here, number two, and what I want to think about together, is we give thanksgiving for God's work. Did we benefit from those spiritual gifts that they had then and what they did? And if so, how? What do you think about that? Yeah.
I think it was in terms of time. A lot of people want things right now.
Mm-hmm.
And shifted into God's time.
Right.
His time seems so much longer. Sometimes it seems very different.
Okay. Yeah, we need to look to understand that God does things in His time and reveals things as He needs to and puts plans in place. And it took time for His will to be completely revealed and for us to be able to have that. How do we benefit from some of the spiritual gifts that existed then, from God's work in that way? How do we benefit from that today? What do you think? Or do we? Yeah, Donna? Okay. Yeah, well, that's one way, right? Yeah, we see evidence that God did work that way and revealed things to us that way. Spiritual gifts were given as part of God's work in that time. And when you look at the other verse that he talks here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, what does it say there? It says, "And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." One of the things that we want to be thankful for in the work that God put forth at that time and how it still benefits us today is, how do we have this? How did we get this here that we have today, that we live by? Did it come from man's word? Man's idea? No, it was inspired by God, wasn't it? And He made certain that His word was delivered, and that we have that today, and that's what guides our lives today. And so the spiritual gifts that did exist, the work that God did in that way, benefits us today because we have the complete revealed word of God. We understand what it is that He wants of us, and that's something that we want to be thankful for and express thanks to God for. So, just kind of starting that way, I just wanted to kind of to look at that idea of what God's work was, and now we're going to talk about what it is today, and set aside the idea of miracles or spiritual gifts that used to exist, that those things are not still existing today, but we have the benefit, those we reap the benefits from those things today in what God has put in place and continues to last. So, in looking at some of the other things that we think about here, back to question one on the lesson today. It says, he asked this question about, do we need to be thankful or express gratitude for everything? And so, since God created all things, should we be giving thanks and receiving everything around us with gratitude? What do you think about that? Yeah.
I think in God's creation, yes, but things that man created out of his raw materials, maybe not.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think that's a good way to think about that. God created all things that we see. And what did, if you remember back in Genesis, what did God say about everything that He created? Yeah, He said it was good. At one point He said it was very good, right? And from those things that God made, man has been able to make some amazing things, right? And there are plenty of those things that we can say are good as well. But when we think about giving thanksgiving for God's work, we want to be sure that we're looking at what God intended and that we're glorifying God for His purpose. Not just for everything that exists by saying, well, God created all things, and so therefore I give thanks for all things, and where that leads. When you look here in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4, if you just look at the verse that we have in the lesson, you see this. It says, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer." So if you just look at that verse, that kind of gives you the impression of that I need to give thanks for everything that exists because God created it and nothing is to be rejected. But then, you know, we reference this scripture here in 1 Peter, and what does Peter say? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3, he talks about the way that some people used to live, the way of the Gentiles, and lists all kinds of things that we should not be involved in. So, should we be giving thanks for those kinds of things? Is that the work of God? See a lot of heads shaking. No, obviously not. So, what we want to do when we're looking at giving thanks for God's word, for God's work, and expressing gratitude for those things, is we want to look at what God's purpose is, what His intention was, and be able to discern those things and then praise Him for those things. When you go back to 1 Timothy and look at the context of what's being said, not just verse 4 and verse 5, notice what he says there. He talks about the Spirit expressly says in the latter times some will depart from the faith by devouring themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. That's the context. He's talking about things that people are doing where they're dishonoring the purpose of what God made. And they're not abiding in what God wanted them to do. And then he goes on to say that everything created by God is good and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. So Paul is putting forth here as he's writing to Timothy that we need to look at what God created and why He created it, what its purpose is, and be thankful to God for those things. If man takes something and turns it upside down or defiles it, we're not assigning that to God and then saying we're thankful to God for things of debauchery and things like that. So that's one idea that we want to understand when we talk about offering thanksgiving for God's work. God is good, and He's created things that He said are good. And we want to honor Him for those good things and use them in the way that He has designed them. And that glorifies Him when we do that. So when we have the right kind of relationships with each other, that glorifies God because that's what He created us to be. We're to love our brethren. We're to love our spouses. We're to love our children. We're to act in certain ways. And God is glorified when we do work that way as He designed it to be. But when we act in ways that He has not told us to be, then, you know, that then we're dishonoring God by those very things that he made. So that's an idea that we want to understand as well. But let's kind of, in the time we have left here, think about how God's work today is and how we can then be thankful for that today. And so one of the things that we find in some of the lesson material that we read is the idea of comfort, that we see that as part of God's work today. And so when you think about that, what are some ways that we see God's work in the idea of comfort today for us as Christians? What do you think? How do we see that today? If nobody speaks up, then I'm going to assume nobody has ever been comforted. Yeah.
It's always been a thing for me. I always tell myself, I'm giving more than I can handle.
Okay.
So, no matter how bad it gets, I always tell myself that if God's given it to me, I can handle it. I just got to find some way to make it happen.
Okay. All right. There may be, you know, might think about the verse in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 as far as, you know, that might relate a little bit to temptation. You know, I'm not gonna have a temptation that I cannot bear. God's not gonna allow that to happen. Sure, that's one thing. What else, David?
Well, I mean, God created us not to stay awake 24 hours a day.
So, okay.
I mean, rest.
Okay, sure.
It's not something better than
others. Okay.
All right, so yeah, he's designed us to operate a certain way, and when we do those things, there's benefits that come from that by following God's plan. What else? Anything else that we think of over here? Yeah, Mark.
You know, mankind has tried to devise ways to ease their conscience when someone dies.
Okay.
Through penance or through prayer or through some other avenue, but we know that if we live by God's pattern, mm-hmm. our loved ones we've witnessed it here recently a couple different times.
Sure.
Know that they can take comfort in knowing that the one that lived with them for many, many years served God, you know, to the degree that we can't imagine sometimes.
Okay.
Is with God.
Yeah, there's hope.
There's hope,
right?
And comfort in
God. Right. Right, there's definitely that. So you look at this verse here in 2 Corinthians 1, and let's appreciate what Paul's saying here. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God." Do you get the impression as you read this verse that Paul appreciates that God offers comfort? Sure. And so how? You know, what does he mean by that as we think about some of these things? Well, we've mentioned some of it, but look at different verses throughout the Bible that show us this work of God that he continues to be active in and offer us by the things that we can do. Romans 12 and verse 15 talks about rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Here's an inspired apostle of God writing to us, showing us a way that we as brothers and sisters in Christ can comfort and help one another. That's a work of God that continues today, because Paul wrote this for us. He wrote it for them, and he wrote it for us too. We live by this. And so when we've certainly experienced that here, when there are those who are happy and rejoicing about something, we rejoice with them. When there are those who are dealing with difficulty, you know, all of you and myself included have seen brethren come together and help comfort those in those times. So how is that a work of God? Well, what if you weren't a member of God's church? What if you weren't baptized into Christ? How would you deal with some of the situations? Have you found yourself dealing with situations or in situations where your brethren were able to help you through that? And if so, be thankful. Show gratitude to God for his work in that way. That's one of the things that we see him do. Anything else come to mind along this that you think about where we see that happening in this work that God has put forth? What other ways do we offer each other comfort, or we can be comforted because of our relationship with God? Think about this verse here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He talks here, he says, "We don't want you to be uninformed about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who do have no hope." This is what Mark was talking about a little bit ago. The idea of that there is hope, that there is, that this life is not all that there is, that we live with a longer view for a greater purpose. I mean, think about what that does for you as a child of God. You look at the lives of people who have no purpose or wonder what their purpose is versus those of us who have hope. And we believe that because, he says here, Jesus died and rose again, that there is hope. That's a work of God that continues, that we have a part of today. We want to be thankful and grateful to him for that. James 5 and verse 16, we reference this verse a lot, and hopefully this can be something that starts to come to mind, the idea of prayer. To be able to go to God in prayer, to know that he hears, to know that it is effective. The fact that as we even gather here together, when we deal with difficulties in our life, we're looking for comfort, we're looking for help, we sometimes come up front here and say, "I need prayer." That is a work that God has put forth that we can take comfort in. We want to appreciate that. We want to offer God our gratitude, our thanks for that, just like Paul did. So that's one area, but another area is the idea of that we see God's work in strength and in power. And how does he provide those things for us? So when you consider that, what do you think about that? How do we see God's strength and power at work today for us? Anybody have any ideas? That one's a little harder than comfort, but I think we see it. Everybody's powerless this morning. Well, what happens when you look here in Romans chapter 16? It says here, now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages. In verse 27, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. When you look at this verse, it says at the end of this letter to the Romans, and Paul says, to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel. What does that mean? How is that possible? How is that a work of God today? What do you think?
Well, the same book says gospel is God's power and salvation.
Sure does. Talking about Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, that he's not ashamed of the power of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God to salvation. Yeah, Zippy?
Well, the covenant that God made with Abraham long ago says that, you know, basically that through the lineage of his people that Messiah will drop forth. We will have a plan of salvation. Mm-hmm. God said this. It will be so.
Sure.
And just the nature, true nature of God, it will happen. It did happen. We can be comforted in the fact that that God's word, no matter what, will happen. There is not going to be any problem with that. And God's strength, God is the only one that can pull that off. His power, his strength, and no matter what, you can have the faith, no matter what, that will happen, that it's going to happen, and regardless of anything that can happen in our lifetime, you can bank everything right there.
Okay. When you think about this phrase here, those are good thoughts for us to consider. You know, this version says, now to him who is able to strengthen you, some versions say who is able to establish you, and again, as you think about, you know, your direction in life, what is it that you are living for? If you are a Christian and you are really living for God, then the decisions you make are going to be based on what God wants. The things that you do each day are going to be based on what God would have you to do so that you can reach a greater goal than just what your career is or what your education is or what your family situation is. If you're looking beyond that, God's work is to strengthen and establish you according to the gospel and the teaching of Christ. Over in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, he says it this way, him who is able to do far more abundantly than we all ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Think about what that means. God has set his plan in motion. God did everything that he said he would do. He sent his son to die for our sins. He had victory over death. There is a heaven that awaits for those who are going to follow after him. That exists. That's there. But will everyone be saved? No. Why? Why won't everyone be saved? Okay. But, you know, do I have a choice that I have to make? I have to choose to obey him, don't I? I have to choose to yield myself. I have to choose to submit myself. So there's work within me that I have to do to take advantage of that power of God. I need to be grateful and thankful and appreciative to God for the work that he put in place so that I can have salvation, that I can be strengthened, that I can be established, that as I go through this life with all of its distractions, with all of its difficulties, with all the things that are going to happen to me that want to throw me off track, there is a work that God has done to establish and to strengthen me, and it comes through the gospel of Christ. I need to be thankful and grateful for that and appreciative of that. Paul prayed that way, and because he did, he was able to see himself through some of the most difficult things that we can imagine that a person went through. So how sometimes do we see that power today? When you look here in Romans chapter 4, as he mentions this here, he says, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. Who's he talking about here? Abraham, that's right. And notice what it says here. When he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no distrust made him waver concerning the promises of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That's why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. So God is able to look at us and to look at our situation, and just through his providence, through the natural things that he has set in place, able to strengthen, to establish us, and to accomplish things in us. Think about what happened with Abraham and why that was possible. God told Abraham, even though you are this old and your wife is this old, 100 years old, and your wife is 90 years old, you're going to have a child. They said, how is that possible? But Abraham had faith in God. God established and strengthened him. And notice, you know, you look at some of these highlighted verses here, because of Abraham's faith. He trusted God. He believed him. He was thankful to him for what he could and was able to do, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. For us to be thankful and grateful to God for his work today, we need to be fully convinced that he is able to do what he has promised. That's important for us to recognize. And so, as we think about that and think about his work in strength and power, you look at the last couple of questions here in this lesson, and back in Romans chapter 16, him who is able to strengthen you. Well, how does that happen? How are we able to be strengthened by God? Look there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before God and before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. When you consider all the things that God has put in place for us to be able to know and to be able to do, and that we see through the gospel of Christ, that's something that we want to be able to appreciate and to be grateful for his work in, to understand his power, to be strengthened by those things, and to appreciate what he's done. He's revealed the mystery that we see in several places say was secret for so long, that there is a Savior who died and accomplished victory over death and sin. We don't live like those in the Old Covenant do because of what Jesus did for us. And that's what we want to be grateful for, to be appreciative of God's work today, to be able to see that he can comfort us. We see his strength, his power in what he does, and hopefully make that a part of our Christian lives and what we're doing and praying to God, giving thanksgiving for. So next week, we have our gospel meeting, so we won't have this class next week. And the following week, we'll look at lesson 6, which is out there. Any final comments or questions this morning? All right, well, we'll stop there for today then.